Welcome to the hottest podcast around. Good Things Come in Threes, with your expert panel of hosts, Pastor Jack Horner, Pastor Liz Fry, and Pastor John Brock.
Welcome to Good Things Come in Threes, a podcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. My name is Pastor Jack Horner, and I'm here with my colleagues, Pastor John Brock.
Hi.
And Pastor Liz Fry.
Hey, friends.
Today, we're going to have a podcast where we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that is, how do we make disciples? Now, the call to make disciples comes to us from Jesus. We hear at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus telling his disciples before he ascends into heaven, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded to you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You'll notice there are two things that are happening in there. One, the baptizing, the bringing into the community of God, people from all over the world, but also the call to teach them everything that Jesus had taught them. And then we have the promise that he is going to be with us no matter what. That this idea of making disciples and teaching them everything that Jesus taught us and passing that on to new generations, every single generation, is something that is fundamental to what it means to be a Christian. And it was so fundamental that it's called the Great Commission, of Jesus, sending disciples all around the world to be able to teach people about Jesus and the way of life that he is trying to share with us. So, what do you think? You think that's a good topic?
Yeah, I approve.
Yeah, you approve. Well, I'm really, really excited about it. So one of the things, one of the places that I learned that really is doing a phenomenal job in making disciples is a number of years ago, I went to do a charity climb of Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. And while I was there, I got to meet with the director of evangelism with the National Tanzanian Lutheran Church and to hear about how they are reaching out into the rural villages as well as into the growing urban areas was really incredibly impressive to me. And I really got a sense that they completely understand this call of Jesus to make disciples and to really share the gospel of love with all of their community. Tanzania is the Lutheran Church in Tanzania is one of the fastest growing Lutheran mm-hmm. churches in the world. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy how fast they are growing. And I really feel it's one of those things where they have something to share with the rest of the Lutheran community.
Ooh, sure.
As far as how can we learn to make disciples, because they're doing such a great job at that. We're not just going to be talking about the Tanzanian church, but we have a very special guest with us today who's going to be able to tell us all about it because, quite frankly, he lived it. Our new director of faith formation, Moses Kaviche, is here to tell us not only about his experiences in the Lutheran Church in Tanzania, but also his excitement of working with the adults and children at Trinity and helping them grow in their own faith journey. So, welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you today. So, tell us about your faith journey.
So my faith journey is divided in three components. So, as you've heard, I grew up in Tanzania, and I grew up Lutheran. My mom is Lutheran. My dad is Lutheran. Mm-hmm. Since I was 2 years old, I have to go to church and play at the church choir. And I was playing drums back then. Oh. We had to memorizing stuff.
Oh, we got to tell Debbie about that.
Oh, yeah. We have to memorize scripture and all those things we have to create in Youth Sunday. So it was more involved. And when I reached to 12 years old, my parents would send me to boarding school, where it's creating another journey for my faith. And I was there, and I was involved a little bit, but not too much. We had the student organizations where we bring all the youth, all the students in one place, and we engage significantly our faith. And then for finishing, that will be middle school in United States level, but it will be secondary school in Tanzania. And then I went to high school, where things changed completely during that time. And that is when I was heavily involved. I was elected to be a chairperson of Tanzania Christian Student Fellowship at my school. My school used to have at least 5,000 students overall.
Oh, my goodness. 5,000? Oh, yeah. For how many grades?
We had from 1 to from 6. So those are 6 grades.
6 grades.
5, yeah, 000. We have 2 shifts. So you have one coming the morning, one coming the afternoon. Okay. So it was all of it. So among the entire population, I was in charge almost for more than 500 students. And we're building the team, and we're trying to be able to change how the church and how the young people engage in that process as well. So I was also deputy head boy, so we were doing a lot of other things. So that's the different structure. So that's when I was in high school. And then God continued to pull me in the certain directions when I was in college. So I went to college and studied social work. But I was still had ability to be able to say, I want to do something for my church. So before I left, I created praise and worship. So in context, in Tanzania traditions, people they love to sing and they love to dance and they love to worship. So we created a full service that involved in praise and worship only. Less preaching and more singing and more dancing and more worship.
Can we do that?
That would be lovely, actually. I would enjoy doing that, honestly.
Now, I was just thinking about bumping our preaching up from 12 minutes to half an hour.
That's another feature that we have in Tanzania, too. So worship can be at least 3 hours. So if you have to go to worship...
We've got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah. It's from 7 a.m. to...
But what about football?
Football.
Yeah, you gotta be over by 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. So that's
actually wait travel time. You gotta be over by 12:45.
That'll be fantastic. So, yeah. So we creating a praise and worship team that we created worship services that was on Sunday. That's really changed my home congregation. And then before I really left, I was lobbying to be able to create a summit where for all young people who are in college to be able to be in one place. So I was talking with a couple of bishops in Tanzania to be able to pull that one together, but I had to move to United States. So that idea didn't fruition. I met with the bishop, we talked about it, and he really liked the idea. And as soon as we tried to be able to execute it, I had to move to United States where I was coming for school. That also is another phase of my faith journey where that is where God pulled me in this role that I currently am. So I went to Hark and then graduated from Hark. I went to Messiah. But I think 2014, I was, after going through a lot of life challenging, you know, everybody coming to a new place, I didn't have my dad or my mom or any relatives, so I was by myself. I was trying to figure out how, and that is part of my culture. A lot of us, we're asking, how can we serve God in a different ways? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people, they think you need to have money, you have all the resources. So for me, back then, 2014, I was like, I want to give offering. And offering, it was for me, my time to give God. And that's what I decided to volunteer as a youth coordinator at my old church, St. Paul. So that is how I started. Mm-hmm. I started to be able to provide only 2 hours as offering my time because I understand what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. And when you have that acknowledgement, you always go farther because you know that the money that you have, the wealth that you have, the health that you have, you know, sometimes you woke up in the morning and you don't really realize there's other people who are in a hospital and they cannot even walk well. So as soon as you learn to count your blessing, that start to change. And that, I think, part of my role currently, we'll talk about that later, is how we can move the church to that perspective. So I volunteered and I graduated 2016 from Messiah, and I was telling my older congregation, like, hey, I'm almost done, so if you need to find somebody else, they're like, no, you can come in. They hired me as a youth and family director at that church. So that is how God pulled me. And a lot of times during those couple of years, there's a lot of sweat and tears and excitement what God had pulled me. So that's the short summary. There's a lot of things that I've left behind it, but that is my faith journey.
Well, that's really great. And so would you say that your parents really were kind of instrumental in laying that groundwork, those seeds for you to
indeed
to get to be somebody that's so excited about teaching the faith?
Yes. I remember have this wonderful story. So when I moved to United States, it was December, so it was cold. And a good story of mine, like I moved to United States, I decided one day when it snowed outside to wear sneakers. And then, I fell, but within 6 months of my time in United States, I never had a chance to go to church. And my mom, almost every Sunday, she calls me and reminds me, did you go to church? And for me, that was a reminder, as parents can remind people, and I think that's how faith being built, faith building at home. When you go to church, all these things, what we do, we just enhance what parents can be able to do at home. And for me, I believe that my parents have, especially my mom, has building a strong foundation for my faith. And until today, I think I honor that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean, especially about when you're not connected for a while.
Yeah.
When I went to college, I wanted to get a radio show, and mm-hmm. the radio show they offered me was on Sunday morning. And I was the only person, evidently, that wrote down "I like classical music"
yeah.
as one of the choices. It was more of a progressive college station, and they were like, "Oh, great! You know, 9 to 12 Sunday morning, play classical music."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when a lot of Lutheran churches are meeting for worship.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got to the next year, I was like, "I can't keep doing this." I mean, I just missed being able to go to church on a regular basis, and I finally said, "That's it. I don't want the radio show anymore. Let somebody else spin that." But it was it was a great experience. I'm really glad, I did it. But I missed being in church every Sunday.
Yeah.
I just really, really missed it. I missed hearing the word. I missed receiving the sacrament.
And so, even the fellowship. You know, a lot of times,
right.
and even today, people, they can say, you can worship at home. Yes, you can. And absolutely, the technology have helped us significantly
yep.
to do that. But there's a different, like, when you come to church and when you be able to connect, when you can hear sounds, when you can be engaging. And also, you can be able to involve in classes and other things. That will really help you to grow your faith.
It's the relationships, right?
Yes, yeah. yes, yeah. yes.
Yeah, we just had a funeral for somebody, and that's one of the things I said in the homily that I gave. I missed this person who had passed away, and I really enjoyed the conversations that we had over a coffee hour. There was always some question about the sermon or the scripture that was read, and he wanted to go deeper in his faith. That was his, that little 5 minutes was his Sunday school,
mm-hmm.
Where he could come up to me, ask his questions, and we could kind of talk about what God might be saying in and through that scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different experience for sure. And for me, I think that's building a strong foundation. But I think also when we go to church, we just not go to listen for a preacher. I think that's the one message.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about listening to you preaching.
It's more than just that.
Yes.
You don't just listen to the sermon.
Yes.
You engage with it, kind of to the point that you were just making,
yeah.
Jack.
Okay, fine.
What, we ponder the points that are made during the sermon?
Oh, there we go.
Look at all these plugs.
The producer is smiling. She is so happy that we just... shamelessly plug the points to ponder. There we go.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So you've been at Trinity now for 2 months?
Yes.
About 2 months?
Yeah.
So how has it been?
It has been wonderful.
Especially working with your supervisor.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's just been wonderful. Honestly.
cough.
More shameless plugs.
but it has been a wonderful journey. For me, I never expected I never thought I'll be here. Because actually, a couple of months before I left my old job, I've been praying for where I'm going to be. And when I started this process, for me, I felt it's the right place for me. And during the interview process, I was completely honest. I was completely, try to be able to open up and see what God have, what mm-hmm. God was going to do yep. in that particular journey. So for me, it has been wonderful. But also, I'm excited about what Trinity can become and what Trinity has been, what God has been able to do here, mm-hmm. what God has been able to change and modify, and how it will look in the near future. So the vision of the church is really strong, and I bought that idea way at the beginning.
Yeah, that's great.
Great. And people are wonderful. Any times when you start a new job, you don't know what to expect. And for me, should I call it a job? I don't feel like it's a job. I feel like it's a calling. When you start that, you don't know what to expect. But a lot of times you are able to connect with different people, Danielle, Amy, and other people, to mm-hmm. be able to plug in and figure out how can we do ministry different?
Right.
And how can we see God in everything that we do? And how can we save others? That is one thing that has
yeah.
been good.
Yeah. I like that you said that, because I think it's so important to maintain those core values, right? So there are core values. Like, take the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. The core value is for us to go and make disciples, to baptize, and to teach, right? Mm-hmm. That's the core value. That's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, the church has done it differently through every generation.
Yes.
Every cultural context, it's always been a different way. And so, and what I love about being Lutheran is that idea of being a reformer, right? Mm-hmm. Always looking at, if this is the core, then what we can play around with, or what we can try to figure out together, is how do we do these things?
Yes.
The expectation is never, we'll do it however we did it last year, or the year before that, or the year before that. We might. Mm-hmm. And that might work. We might have something go, hey, this really works great. Let's keep doing this.
Correct.
But we're always looking and always searching to see, how do we best fulfill mm-hmm. the Great Commission mm-hmm. as a congregation in 2021?
Yeah.
And so we're always looking for those ways in which we can connect with that. And I appreciate the kind of energy that you bring to it, and kind of looking at that and building relationships and building teams as well, because I think we also have some really wonderful people here mm-hmm. with a lot of different perspectives, and they just bring energy, and they bring a real love for this congregation and a love for Jesus, and the desire to also fulfill that Great Commission.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that about the staff and about our congregational leaders and about our community, wanting to continue to be that kind of strong witness of Christ in this area, mm-hmm. in this region, really, because we're kind of, one of the things you learned through the interview process is we're drawing from, anywhere from 25 minutes out.
Yeah, correct.
We might not see them every week, but mm-hmm. we have folks that are driving quite a distance to come to worship here.
Yeah, yeah. From York to other places around the area. So yeah,
absolutely. Well, so tell us about your interest in teaching the faith. I mean, you shared some things about you had done that at a young age, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
really found yourself on, I would say, formative leadership teams as a young person. And mm-hmm. now here you are as still a young person.
Yeah.
Younger than Pastor Brock and I.
And, doesn't take
and
a whole
Pastor Liz.
Yeah, might be. We can try to. Yeah, we can go with a thin line with Pastor Liz, but yeah.
It feels good not to be the youngest. I'll be very honest with you, Moses.
I can see the pressure. I'm the youngest in my family, too, so that's even better.
Yeah, but I still have to explain all of those illustrations from
not
the 70s.
Not all of them.
80s. So anyway, but yeah. Go ahead. Tell us about
what's your goals, Moses.
tell us about your interest in teaching the faith and especially in this context.
Yeah. So in order for people to understand my interest, at least to understand my, I share a little bit background, but I'll share a couple of stories. When I moved to US, one of the things that I've learned is to fully and honestly depend on God, God will and God presence. And that, how does that show up with? I think if, I usually using this one, this example, a lot of times, if somebody takes you and drop you to Japan or drop you to Mexico or drop you somewhere, a lot of times you have learned that God provides you with people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And they utilize people around you.
Yeah.
And they utilize gifts that people has around you. And for me, I think that was the center because I didn't have mom to call or dad to call or relative to call. You have your own. I remember one time I had a car breakdown and I had to figure out my own how to navigate that. And I realized you cannot live in the world by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times for me, teaching is to discover other people's potential within the body of Christ, because I don't have all the gifts that is needed, and neither of each and every one of us, but together we can do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we do that is to involve those people in the body and worship, and even the team, even planning, even engaging, because everybody is important. And faith usually grows when you can see things happen. You can see things happen in church, and you can see things happen around you. And through that, you can be able to see a difference in your own life. For me to take a step to say, I'm going to give offering to God on my time to help with my with youth, that was a faithful step to take so we can be able to build around me the generation that will be able to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. So every one of us, we have ability to make a difference. And I think that's the vision of the ministry. That's the vision that I have, is to empower and to engage anybody who is part of this community. Because sometimes you're going to go through your struggle. The only person to be able to help is somebody who you connected with. Mm-hmm. Because those ones, they can hear you and connect with you and they can engage you. But also, you are not alone.
Yeah.
And yeah. If we can help you through your spiritual growth, that will be crucial and important. So for me, it's empowering and creating disciples. You shared that from the beginning. And how can we create disciples within the church?
Yeah.
And how those disciples can be able to create other disciples outside of the church, so that your faith, you don't have to say, I'm Christian. You just walk the Christian walk.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the better thing about Lutheran. You know that we are all messed up in one way or another. But at the end of the day, we're trying to make a difference.
Yeah.
We're trying to make an impact. So the young Moses who used to go to Sunday school and play drums and sing in the choir, they'll become the person that I am today because a lot of people in that journey have helped me to become.
Right.
So if you see me today, you know there's a lot of people put work behind. If they see any of us here, they know there's a people who put works behind us. So the question becomes, as a members, as a listener, as a community who you're not sure about your faith, can we creating more Moseses around the world?
Right.
And how can you do that is to be engaging in the church, to be engaging the worship, to be engaging the life of the church. And that can be terrifying at the beginning, and always is going to be. But the truth is, the rewards are greater than the cost that you're going to pay at this point.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really great. And I think I think of the people that have been in my life that have helped me, you know, my parents, grandparents, other family members. I think of friends that I had in high school and mm-hmm. fraternity brothers that I had in college. I think of people that I went to seminary with and seminary professors and teachers along the way, whether in high school or in seminary. And, you know, some of the hardest teachers, the ones that if you asked me while I was taking them, I would go, oh, my gosh, they're just awful.
Yeah.
I look back and go, they taught me the most because they pushed me.
Yep.
They pushed they pushed the best of me, you know, and then colleagues along the way and everything that they were able just to teach me of how they dealt with issues and being able to go to people when I was having a particular problem and not sure how do I maneuver through whatever the issue was. And they were just, they brought wisdom to it. And, you know, I think when you look at a person, you know, as you said, it's not just the person, it's the whole company of saints mm-hmm. that went along the way to instruct them and to help them and to guide them and to pray for them and to, you just, you know, keep coming up with things that they offered and did to help grow that person. But it's almost like this just popped in my head. It's almost like a ministry of generosity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, of just investing. You know, we talk about generosity with investment a lot of times, right? You're just investing in people. And it's so important for all of us, whether we're church leaders or not, mm-hmm. to invest in the people that we come into contact with.
And I think that is also my culture has been good about it. So I know one time they had a theme about Ubuntu. Or in other words, is in Tanzania we say, inachukua kijiji kumtengeneza mtoto mmoja. It takes a village to help with one child. Mm-hmm. And the truth, there's a sense of that, is that all of us were involved in one way or another for the growth of any person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm pretty much sure there's somebody who is struggling and listening at this point, at this time, but they don't know where to go to. But if you can be that help to be able to reach out, you can be that help to be able to go and touch their life. Even sometimes to say good morning to somebody mm-hmm. can be able to transform other person's life, because maybe that person never heard somebody say good morning for the entire day.
Right.
So a lot of calling and texting and all those things. So as a church, I think we have more roles compared to just come to worship on Sunday.
Right.
And yes. just sit down in the class and read. That's important, but we have more involvement. And you, as a listener, you're important as well to be able to build the church.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the things that I think was important for the faith formation team that you met with and was doing, working with the hiring process, is we recognized and we're really hopeful that we could find one person to kind of oversee the total of our faith formation, because we knew that they would have to be building teams and finding leaders and working with other people. They couldn't do it all by themselves. But we also wanted that integration from the baby that is baptized mm-hmm. all the way through the senior citizen who wants to come to a Bible study on a Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that we wanted somebody that had their eye on the whole picture of how do we form disciples, how do we teach disciples. And so we were really excited to go through the interview process with you and learn more about your history and the things that you're passionate about. Could you share, if you want to just share with us, just what are a couple of your goals that you would like to see? You've shared some of them already about connecting yeah. with people mm-hmm. and building, you know, a whole community, which I think is awesome. Give us a couple other goals that you.
So I think the main goal for me is a spiritual growth, and I think that sounds so big, and
does.
That's require like you don't like reading a Bible every single day, or it's depend how we as a church. Spiritual growth, it means is your spiritual status from today and tomorrow. We need to check. So your spiritual status today, it's like, let's say 5%. Tomorrow it needs to be 10%. How are we helping you to grow spiritually? And my role that I'm planning to do is to provide avenues. So if you need a class to be able to connect, if you need small groups to connect, if you need to meet out and hang out with people, whatever that form it is to help you to grow spiritually, we are willing to tap on that area. Because by doing that, we touch God, and through touching God, we touch you. Because we have to remember that at the end of the day, what we want to do is to connecting, first of all, to connect me and God, and connect you and God, and connect each other with God. Yeah. And if we can do that, it means that we'll be able to accomplish. So the goal is to be able to creating small groups that you are interested to, you are willing to engage, and that you want to be part of. So if you are interested in small groups, reach me out. Like, let's talk about it, how we can create in groups that fit your spiritual needs. If you're looking for classes, let me know what kind of classes are you looking, so we can be able to feed your spiritual needs. If you want to teach a class, because we have a lot of gifts in this church. Mm. These are teachers, these are listeners, these are people who want to help. Like, whatever gift that you have, reach out. Yeah. And we'll find a way to utilize your gift. So at the end of the day, the glory can be to God, and glory can be to the work that God have done in your life.
Yeah.
Because your story matters, your journey matters, and you can make that difference. So whenever you're passionate about, whenever that you engage that you're going to help somebody to grow spiritually, I'll be more than happy to be able to plug you in any way, shape.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for being a part of our podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
I hope I'll get an invitation next time.
Yeah, that's a pleasure. That's a pleasure. And you know, that goes to the audience that's listening. If there's a topic that you think would be interesting for the three pastors to talk about, why don't you share that with the church office. Call the church office. Come up to any one of us or to Danielle Andrews and say, hey, I've got a great topic. I would love to hear them talk about whatever the topic is. I'm sure we would love to talk about it. We talk about things that we know, and we talk about things we don't know. So, but research beforehand.
And I think we're much better at that second one.
So, but we'd be happy to tackle any topic that you come up with. We really, really would. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much again, Moses, for that.
Asante sana in Swahili, which means thank you.
Asante sana. Yes. That's right. Asante sana. Do you know what my name was, by the way, when I was climbing Kilimanjaro?
I want to hear this.
Mutu Marafu.
Ah, Mutu Marafu, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tall man.
Tall man.
That was my trail
Actually,
name.
You can, yeah. It's depending on the tribes. We can go forever. Like, we can talk about it next time. But that's also going to be something else. People have a different heights. And, yeah, you're tall man.
Oh, it could even be taller than tall.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's about as tall as it gets. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, everyone, be the church. Jesus is Lord. And as we were talking with the Great Commission, share the good news. Thank you so much for joining us. We are looking forward to being with you again in a couple of weeks. So seek the good.
Be the good.
Share the good.
Because good things
come in threes.
Pastor Liz, will you send us out with a blessing?
I'd be happy to. The Lord be with you, friends.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for our brother Moses, for his gifts, his talents, and the people who have walked with him on his journey. We ask that you would continue to form faith in this congregation. May your spirit continue to flow through this place so that we might go out and share the good news, be your disciples. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. See you, everybody.
Take care.
Bye, friends.
Bye.